Father in heaven, thank you that we can indeed let our light shine. And what a day to be able to celebrate all those moments where people are allowing them to become reflections of your grace. So we thank you for this service, for this day, for all that you're doing in the lives of so many people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Hey, wonderful to have you here. And with everything going on today, we're starting a brand new sermon series calling Making Jesus Real. And what a service to kind of start this particular message this morning. Now, I'm going to take us back a little bit in the history of the church. This is really important, and it may not be important to you, but it's important to us as a leadership. But over the last year, and maybe a little longer, the leadership of the church sort of gathered together and said, you know, we have to be very intentional about the future. We have to be very intentional about the church we're creating. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to dismiss the kids. Oh, yeah. Didn't I? Yeah. You guys don't really want to go downstairs. You want to hang up here with me, don't you? Didn't hear a word I said. Yeah.
Welcome to my world.
Honestly, that's awesome. Wonderful. Yeah, so as a leadership, over the last year, we gathered together, and as many of you know, the mission statement of this church is to love God, love others, and to change the world, built on the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. And we want to expand on it and say, you know, if there was a phrase that described Village Green in a really tangible way, what would that phrase be? And we worked through it, and we actually went through a whole program of taglines that people have for their businesses. For instance, if I was to say to you, what's the tagline for Nike? Just do it, okay? What about Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Make your life good.
Oh. Just had it last night, right? Okay. What about Subway? Eat fresh. What about Apple? You're laughing because it's dead wrong, right? Somehow this isn't going the way I was hoping it would go. Notice that in those taglines, nothing talks about the products that they deliver. It's evoking a feeling, okay? Do you know, I want to know what my favorite one is. I don't know if there's cat lovers in this group, okay? But do you know what the one for Meow Mix is? Cats ask for it by name. Isn't that brilliant? I think that's absolutely brilliant. Cats ask for it by name. Okay? So you get the idea. All right? And what the leadership over a long period of time and struggling through all of this stuff, we came up with a really simple one. And I think the longer that I'm sitting with it, the better it feels. Okay? And it's exploring life. It'll grow on you, okay? But there's something about a church where we can invite people in a safe way to explore life. Now, here's a script I want to read that's probably going to end up on the website. You're going to see it in other places. And this is really important. This is what we're talking about when we talk about exploring life at Village Green. So here's the script. I want to read it for you, okay? Life is a journey. From first breath to last, life can be full of adventure and excitement one moment, then full of doubt and pain the next. We can easily become disoriented by its complexity and overwhelmed by the challenges before us. Despite all that life can throw at us, we all want to have confidence that we are heading in the right direction, one that will help us to confidently navigate all of life with endurance and hope. At Village Green Community Church, we believe that Jesus points us to a better way, a better life, a better hope. Exploring life at Village Green is about exploring the way of Jesus. That is a really important sentence. Exploring life at Village Green is all about exploring the way of Jesus. Come and embrace the journey with us. Amen? That's what it means. And I know it's, you know, one of those very simple taglines, but as a believer, we live life differently. We experience life differently. We have a different worldview. We see everything about being a collective community that is driven by the way of Jesus. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about, because you can go somewhere else and explore life in a totally different way, but we are talking about the way of Jesus as we talk about exploring life here at Village Green. All right? Now, we're going to look really quickly this morning at a really practical passage. Many of you have read it many times, even maybe heard many messages on it. And it's a really down-to-earth, practical passage that is, you know, demonstrating exactly what we're talking about this morning. And in fact, I would argue that every one of us today here this morning, whether you're in person or online, struggle with this very thing. And many of you right now, right in this moment, are struggling with this very problem. And Jesus gives some really practical lessons about this particular thing that we all struggle with. And in fact, I'm hearing culturally it's becoming an epidemic culturally. And Jesus gives us some really practical lessons about how to manage this and why it's so important. So here's the passage that we're looking at really quickly this morning, Matthew 6, 31 to 33. This is only a small section of the larger passage that Jesus deals with. But Jesus is talking about worry. Worry. This common thing that every single one of us in one way or another struggles with. So here's what Jesus says to this crowd of people in the Sermon on the Mount. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Now, in the environment that Jesus is talking about, it's a place where finding what to eat and to drink and clothing themselves is a little more difficult than it is in our present reality, in our present world. So there's an extra challenge there. But even then, in the midst of that challenge, Jesus is saying, don't worry about these common things. Okay? What will you wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Notice the terminology of needs. And here's the one we've all heard. In the midst of a passage on worry, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Okay? So Jesus is talking about some very practical things, talking about the needs that concern many of us and drive some of us to worry endlessly about them and to wonder what tomorrow's going to bring, all of those kinds of things. So I want to really quickly highlight the problem with worry in our culture today, coming out of this passage, and we'll light this up a little bit. So here's the problem with worry, okay? It creates an imaginary dark room. I don't know about you, but we often get a fictitious narrative going on in our minds of what the potential could happen, and we worry about it, and we have all these scenarios being played out in our head. And they say worry is the dark room of the heart. It's like a photography studio needs a dark room to develop the pictures. Our mind becomes a dark room of the worry and how they start to, you know, become developed in our mind. Okay? And worry is future-oriented. It isn't necessarily present-oriented all the time. A lot of it's future-oriented, looking at the potential scenarios that might unfold. And it often looks at worst-case scenarios. Have you ever run across somebody, by the way, that says, you know, I don't have much of an imagination? And I've often wondered about asking them, do they worry? And if they say, yeah, I worry all the time, then I would say to them, then your imagination's not the problem. Because most of us have quite an imagination when it comes to worry. Because we can create all these storylines, and each one of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Here's number two. Nothing good rarely comes from it. Rarely does anything good come from needless worry. It rarely adds anything positive. Even if your worst fears come true, it's like you've expended all this energy getting to that point anyway. You know, one of my favorite sayings, and somebody repeated it to me just this week, one of my favorite illustrations of worrying is sitting in a rocking chair. And, you know, a rocking chair, you're going back and forth. A rocking chair, you're expending all this energy, but you're not going anywhere. That's what worry is. You're expending all this energy, and you're going absolutely nowhere. Okay? In fact, earlier on in this passage, Jesus says in verse 27, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Jesus understands just how, you know, debilitating worry can be for many people. Number three, inner peace is absolutely elusive. You know yourself, it is hard to have inner peace, the kind of peace that God and the Spirit of God wants to give us when we're consistently worrying about every small little detail. That's, inner peace is almost impossible. In fact, there are a lot of spiritual mentors and people that write on spiritual disciplines and that say that worry is one of the biggest detriments to people growing in their faith. And the rise of anxiety and worry in our culture is actually a roadblock to many people having a dependency on God and many people growing in their faith in God, because worry is kind of like this barrier that, you know, first and foremost, this is where you're going to before going to a dependency on God, is you're going first to worry. In fact, you know, we all know that passage that Paul says, you know, pray without ceasing, okay? Ask yourself, if you worry continually, why can't you pray continually? Ask yourself that question. Because when we hear pray, you know, without ceasing, we go, that's impossible. Like, life is, you know, but the fact of the matter is you can be consistently worrying in the midst of driving, in the midst of being in the middle of a church service, and all, you know, all those kinds of things. Okay? But inner peace becomes totally elusive. It is something that is so hard to find in your own heart and your own mind, because the worry is sort of like taking away any possibility of hearing the Spirit of God, because you're just so concerned about the things that God has told us He's going to take care of you for. In fact, when you worry in that degree, you're actually saying, God, I don't really believe you can take care of me. I don't really believe that you've got this. I don't really believe that my everyday needs are something that you even care about. And notice the importance of needs over wants. There are many times in our lives that we are seeing something that we are not receiving from God, and we're thinking that God is so distant from us. But God is trying to tell us this is a want in your life that really isn't going to be very healthy for you. I have to admit, as a pastor, there are a number of prayers in my life that I was really glad that God did not answer. Because looking back on it, the answer to prayer would have been more damaging or devastating or problematic if God had have sort of dealt with my wants in that moment. And yet God, being God, was faithful to make sure that my needs were met, whether they were emotional, relational, spiritual, physical, you know, all of those things. That God cares about you and will take care of you. Here's the fourth thing that happens with worry. It can hurt us emotionally. It can hurt us physically. It can hurt us relationally and spiritually. You know, we probably, the three of the four of those things probably are expected, but the physical one is really unbelievable because, you know, it's proven that excessive worrying, excessive anxiety can actually hurt us physically. You know, we're not totally healthy all the time. It just kind of hurts us in so many ways. Even relationally, how many of us, my mother was a worrywart. You know, I think it's a Greek thing. Can we just say it's a Greek thing? Okay, all right. That poor woman worried about everything, okay? In fact, going out the door as a kid, she had a list. You got a mom with a list, okay? Oh, you're going to the beach. Do you have your life jacket? You know, how deep's the water? How, you know, and by the time I got out the door, I was panicked. You ever, right? God bless her, but she worried about everything. And that was her form of love. Can I just say that? That was her form of love. There's no doubt about it. But I wonder how much it hurt her emotionally, physically, and all that stuff to constantly be worried about the kids. And I would say to her, especially when I got older and became a pastor and a believer, I said, do you ever trust God with any of this? You know? And I'm not sure she ever was able to give me an answer that, you know, satisfied this business of worrying. But maybe you don't realize this, but worry is contagious. You know, because my mother was a worrywart, I ended up with the same ailment. Okay? So this is speaking to me as much as it's speaking to those of you, if it is at all. Okay? Because, you know, my wife will tell you, I don't walk out the house unless I've checked every door twice. Sometimes three times. And get halfway out the door and go, oh, did I get the side door over by the workshop? You know, yeah. Ever been there? Yeah, ever been there? Check the stove. Leave the stove on. How many of us leave the stove on? Like, seriously, like in a percentage-wise, like isn't it very, very minute? Okay, or something like that. But we all worry about very mundane things. Very mundane things. And it builds a pattern in us. And it's something we have to be careful of. But here is one of the powerful truths that come out of this, and I'm going to finish up here really, really quickly. Jesus taught a really powerful truth, and this is the truth. When things change in me, everything else changes. When things change in me, everything else changes. This is what Jesus means where he says, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. That's a whole different mindset. Don't worry about these things. Don't worry about these little things. Just seek the kingdom of God above all else. Just, you know, guide your entire life to live righteously, seek the kingdom of God. Do the very things that God has, you know, desired for you to attain in your life. That's where you should be focusing all your energies, all your motivations, and all that kind of stuff. And then worry becomes like a subset of all of that. Okay? This is a passage about learned reliance on God. And instead of those dark room narratives that we can manufacture in our own minds. Because God cares for our needs, especially when we care for his kingdom, especially. Here's the last couple of points. Here's an application. There's two ways to help counter worry that are additional to seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Prayer is one, and gratitude is the other one. Okay? Pray about it and have gratitude of what the things that, you know, often when you worry, it's like the things you don't have, the things you want, the things that are not happening in your life. But if you stand back and go, you know what? God has blessed me tremendously. God has done things in my life that I'm ignoring, I'm forgetting, I'm, you know, needed to be reminded of, but God is doing amazing work in my life. And then pray for those few things that you're probably needing to pray about. So here's the last point. I will never, or you will never, be able to make Jesus real for anyone else unless he becomes real to you. True? So as a church, you know, I talk to you about exploring life, but internally, as departments and as different ministries that we have, we're asking ourselves, how do we make Jesus real here at Village Green? How do we make Jesus real in our Kids Connection? How do we make Jesus real in our life groups? How do we make Jesus real in our worship time? All of those kinds of things. Because unfortunately, people come to church to find God, and sometimes what they end up with is us. So we want to make Jesus real. Amen. Okay. You're going to have a lot of fun in your life groups this week, hopefully, as you go through this.